My friends, before we begin, let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we pray that only your word be spoken, your word heard, and your word lived. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This is verse 25 from our gospel reading. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Now, last week, we looked at Peter's confession. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter declared, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." And we saw that Jesus blessed Peter in a way that no one else in Scripture was blessed by Jesus. Jesus declared that Peter would be essential in the formation of God's church. Peter was given incredible authority, and he was blessed by Jesus. Now, although Christians have disagreed through the ages on the type of authority Peter was given, no one disagrees that Jesus singled Peter out in an incredible and amazing way. And in today's reading, we witness an incredibly difficult moment. Jesus rebukes Peter harshly, like no one else in the Bible. I mean, if we read the story of Jesus, Jesus is usually tender with sinners, even while he's pointing out their mistakes and weaknesses. Just think of the woman at the well. He challenged her, but tenderly. Now, Jesus was harder on religious leaders, and he vehemently called them out on their hypocrisies. But only Peter gets called out as the enemy. Verse 23. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." This is intense. Now, when you think about moments in your life when you've had to call someone out, or maybe even rebuke them, usually the kindest thing to do is to take them aside privately before you have a talk with them. But Jesus didn't do that. He rebuked Peter publicly among the other followers. That means that the mistake Peter made was serious enough that he needed to know what he did and everyone else needed to know. You and I need to know what happened here. It's too important. Jesus confirms that he is the Messiah, the Lord. He's God, come to them. And they're excited because they're suffering and they're oppressed. They've been waiting for the Messiah all their lives. But Jesus says to them, "Don't tell people that I'm the Messiah." He says that because he's about to go to Jerusalem to die. He's told his followers that they must take up their crosses and follow him. And now they're learning that that wasn't a metaphor. Jesus tells them not to tell anyone else he's the Messiah because we can't know what it means to follow Jesus unless we go to Jerusalem with him. Jesus doesn't want us to simply believe in him, but to follow him, even unto death. And Peter can't handle this. I mean, this is crazy talk. The Messiah is powerful, Son of God, liberator. No one can stand to him. I mean, Peter's got to be saying, "Well, what is Jesus doing? Talking about literally dying? This is terrible marketing. This is insane." So Peter makes the same mistake that Adam and Eve made, that all of us make. Peter presumed to know better than God what God desires. Jesus dying and rising doesn't sound like victory. So Peter tries to stop Jesus, and Jesus rebukes Peter. You see, Peter trying to stop Jesus from the cross puts him on Satan's team, people who want Jesus to accept the world as it is. And often we do this too. Like Peter, we fail to see that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And so you've got to be asking, well, how do we act like Peter? We fail to see Jesus as Lord, like Peter, because we want Jesus to confirm our presumption that we can understand the way the world works only if we live as if God does not exist. Jesus says, "Come with me to Jerusalem." He says to us, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." And we say no. We don't want to lose ourselves. We want to find ourselves. We will find ourselves by inventing identities. We will find ourselves through recognition, academic degrees, impressive careers, significant savings and income, and all that. You know, that makes us feel like winners. They make us feel valued and wanted. We do whatever it takes to make us feel good. Feelings are the arbiters of success, of a good life. We don't lose ourselves. We find ourselves by our feelings. We follow certain strands of modern psychology or self-help books. We don't want to be weak. We want to be independent, true to myself, strong. But Jesus says, this isn't the way. Jesus says, here's how I'm going to overcome evil and save everybody. Here's how I'm going to put an end to the evil in the world. I'm going to be defeated. I'm going to be weak. I'm going to be humbled. I'm going to be tortured. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be utterly defeated. That will be my triumph. What Jesus did wasn't feelings-based. It wasn't a way of life that prioritized finding himself. Jesus prioritized following the will of God. And Peter didn't want that. He wanted Jesus to act according to his feelings, what he desired. He wanted the quick and easy route to freedom. Jesus, use your powers and defeat the Romans. Jesus, simply snap your fingers and make everything right. And Jesus recognized that. You see, Satan tempted Jesus with ease and immediate political power, and Peter wants the same. So when Jesus calls Peter out, here's what he's saying. You are saying exactly what Satan said to me in the desert when he tempted me. Satan said, would you like the kingdoms of the earth? Bow down and worship me. What was he saying? Well, Satan says, the Father's way is the kingdom of God, comes through suffering and tribulation and weakness and defeat, but I'll give you the kingdom through achievement, through accomplishment, through victory, through strength. You'll find what you want immediately and easily through me. That was a temptation. Jesus turns to Peter and says, do you know what you've done? What you have done is exactly what Satan has done. You've bought into it. You refuse to incorporate the cross, the humility, the humbling, the suffering into your ideas of greatness and happiness. You're just like Satan. He says, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And that's not the way. Jesus is saying, the way you get a strong identity, the way you truly find yourself, is by denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following me. Strength doesn't come through accomplishment. Strength comes through weakness. Strength comes through defeats. Strength comes through brokenness. Finding yourself through a Western accomplishment-driven materialism isn't strength. It's just stuff. Jesus points that out. But some of us may already agree with a lot of that. Maybe a lot of us have already explored Eastern wisdom. I did too in university. I studied Buddhism. And it's not monolithic. There are many kinds of Buddhism. And there's so much value in Buddhism because it actually has a lot to say to Western materialism. But I will point out that Buddhism formally says that the whole idea that you have a self is the problem. According to Buddhism, you don't have an individual self. You're part of the all whole. And so we have to get rid of this idea of the individual self because that's what leads to selfishness and grasping. You see, this view says, just lose yourself. Stop thinking about your needs and your desires. Do your duty. Lose yourself. Now, here's the point. Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus does not say lose yourself because when he says find yourself, he means I want you to have a you. I want you to have a self. On the other hand, he refuses to say, and you can do it directly. You don't need me. Jesus refuses to say, just achieve it. No. What he says you have to do is, you have to lose yourself for me. Do you see those two little words? Jesus doesn't just say, lose yourself. He says, lose yourself for me. And what that means is, he says, look at my cross and let that shape everything else. He doesn't say, die, because that would be lose yourself. He doesn't say, I died so you wouldn't have to have a cross. Here's what he said. He said, I didn't suffer so you would not suffer. I suffered so when you suffer, you could become like me. Jesus suffers so that when we suffer, the love of God will advance in us and in others. Only when we experience our crosses and our troubles and our difficulties in the light of the cross of Jesus will we either lose ourselves or we'll try to find ourselves and we'll come up with identities that will leave us empty. But if we lose ourselves for Jesus, we will find ourselves. Now, how does this happen? How do I find myself by following Jesus? Well, I'll point out two ways. First, you get the emotional ability to admit who you are. See, when you follow Jesus, you have stopped thinking of your strength and seeing yourself as being able to save yourself. And until you admit this in your mind and heart, you won't be able to look at yourself honestly. You won't be able to admit that there are things in your life, habits you're keeping around, that are harming you. You won't be able to admit just how screwed up you are until you accept that God loves you and how much of his love surrounds you because of what Jesus has done for you on the cross. Secondly, you'll be free from outside influence. Now, I think it's a fact that we will always care about what someone else thinks of us. That's just human. I mean, we can't say, oh, I'm strong, I'm independent, I don't care about what anyone thinks about me. That's just not true. Do you know who doesn't care about what anyone thinks about them? Sociopaths. So we do, in fact, care. That's okay. But here's the crucial difference. If you follow Jesus, your identity won't ultimately depend on your achievements or the opinions of others. Whatever happens, whatever loss you experience, as a follower of Jesus, you will be able to say, you're not my life. You're a good thing, but you're not my life. You're not my identity. You're not my soul. That is real and authentic strength found in Jesus. Now, the only way you gain this strength is through suffering. And so let me end with this. Some of you are going through some really terrible times. And I'll be honest, I'm there with you. And so Jesus is saying to you, and he's saying to me, look at your cross, look at your difficulty in the light of my cross. No, really, look at your suffering in the light of the suffering of Jesus. And I'm going to suggest just two ways to do this. First, let the cross of Jesus challenge your wisdom. Do you know why? Because my heart sometimes says, God has let you down. But I know that's not true. Because Jesus Christ, he lost his job. Jesus Christ lost all of his money. Jesus lost his reputation. He was stripped. Jesus Christ lost all his friends. Jesus Christ was abandoned. Jesus Christ suffered and he died. And the kingdom of God went forward. And so when you and I say, when we look at our suffering and we say, God couldn't be doing anything good in my life right now, the cross of Christ challenges our wisdom and comes at us and says, why not? Secondly, let the cross of Jesus challenge your fears. The other thing my heart says besides God let you down when things are going wrong is, see, Seth, you're a fool. You're a failure. But the cross of Jesus Christ comes and says no. God the Father emptied heaven of its most prized possession. God the Father spent the family fortune. God the Father gave his son. Now do you think he's going to abandon you? Of course not. God gave his son in exchange for your soul. He's not going to give up on you now. My friends, let's look at at our cross, our sufferings right now, in the light of the big cross. That's how the kingdom of God goes forward. Let's not be afraid. Let's believe in the one who loves us now and forever. Let's pray. Loving and gracious God, thank you that you didn't turn back from Jerusalem, but endured all the way to death on the cross and beyond. Because of your death, we can live eternally, and our present sufferings aren't meaningless, but the path that we find ourselves in you. With this knowledge, help us face our own sufferings with courage, faith, and hope. Amen.